So let's go. Okay, we are on. If you remember, we are learning Pirkei Avos, Perek Revi'i, the fourth Perek, and we are in the fourth or fifth Mishnah, depending on how you split it, but I split it like Rav Hirsch, because who better to split it like? So, and anyways, it's basically a different topic. So, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka Omer, but in your Pirkei Avos, wherever you are, it might be the fourth, it might be the fifth. Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka Omer, he says, Kol ha-mechalel shem shemayim b'seser. Anybody who is mechalel shem shemayim in private, nifra'im imenu begoloi. They punish him is kind of the way that we translate that word, but really it means like he gets what he deserves, basically, in public. Echad shogeg ve'echad mezid b'chil Hashem. An accident, something that's accidental and something that's purposeful is the same. It's all the same in Echil Hashem. So what's the subject, the one subject of this Mishnah? Good. Good. Hi, Bachava. F, by the way, hi, Bachava family. But we can kind of hear the background noise, so if you can mute yourself, that'd be great. But I didn't say hi to you either, so hi. Hi, Chana Rubini. Can you guys hear the fireworks in the background here or no? No? Okay, good. Okay, good. So, Chil Hashem, like Chavi said, Chil Hashem is the subject of this Mishnah. Good. So, let me ask you, if I had to ask you for an example of Chil Hashem, give me an example that comes to mind of what Chil Hashem is. Oh, Bacheva, please, don't apologize. Totally fine. What's an example of Chil Hashem?
When you do anything bad in front of, like, people in public, something wrong, officer.
Good, like what? Give me just, like, one practical example.
You litter on the floor and there's a million people around and everyone saw it.
Awesome. So you're wearing, like, a I love Israel because I'm a Jew shirt and you litter in public and everyone's like, Jews litter in public, right? Good.
Not thanking the bus driver after the school trip.
Not that. Okay, good. Ferha, why did you say that?
Because we all grew up like a stereotypical when you're in elementary school. It's like, okay, ever make a Kiddush Hashem, thank the bus driver. And that's the only time you ever hear that word.
Good. Exactly. Okay, Bracha, I am so happy you said that because that just played into like part of the complexity that we're about to paint here, right? Which is that the main part, like place in our lives where we hear Chil Hashem spoken about and we are educated about it very intentionally is when we're on school trips, we're all together and everyone's like, or the teachers are like, oh, don't make a Chil Hashem. Make sure to be really well behaved. And then if you do anything, they're like, don't make a Chil Hashem. Right? Exactly. So thank the bus driver because we don't want to make a Chil Hashem. Right? Good. Exactly. Good. Right? Good. So public misbehavior is what would classify as Chil Hashem, right? Or even just being kind of rude. So we should be not rude and not make a Chil Hashem. Good. Any other examples? Or like those two generally, like, yeah. When I was in college, I sewed like an Israeli star onto the back of my backpack because I wanted to like make a Chil Hashem all the time. And then I realized that, like, I remember specifically being on an airplane and I tried to help somebody put their suitcase up. And I was like, look at me, I'm a Jew. Everyone's going to realize that I'm a Jew and make a Chil Hashem. But when I was trying to help them put them up, I accidentally hit somebody in the back with my Israeli star backpack. And I was like, okay, so the person I'm helping is going to like Jews, but the person who I accidentally hit is not going to like Jews. And then like the flight attendant asked me if I wanted like a can of soda. And I was like, oh, I don't, but can I take it for later? And then I was like, she's going to think I'm stingy. So I remember after that flight, I like took off the Israeli flag because I'm like, I cannot handle it. I cannot handle always feeling like I either am making a Kiddush Hashem or a Chil Hashem all the time. Right? So again, that's kind of how we think about Kiddush Hashem and Chil Hashem. Good. Right? Agreed. Agreed. Does anyone disagree with this point yet? No, we haven't said anything too controversial yet. Good. So tell me, look inside this Mishnah. Okay? I'm going to read it to you one more time. What are the two dimensions of Chil Hashem that this Mishnah is pointing out to us? Okay? Here it is again. Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka Omer, Kol ha-mechalel shem shemayim b'seser, nifra'im imenu begoloi. Anybody who is mechalel shem shemayim in private, in secret, in private, he is punished for, we'll just use that word, in public. Echad shogig ve'echad mezid b'chil Hashem. Something that's accidental and something that's on purpose is all the same in Chil Hashem. What are the two dimensions? Who did we just get? Rachel Brown, hello. What are the two dimensions of Chil Hashem?
Secret and private.
Good. Secret and private is one dimension. Good.
And then accident on purpose.
Good. Accident and choking and mason is another. Right? Exactly. Everyone agree with Javi? Yes. Those are the two. This is not a trick question. Those are the two dimensions that this Mishnah talks about in terms of Chil Hashem. So which we basically have a problem with both those dimensions. Okay? According to the stories that we just shared before, which dimension do we have a problem with? the private public dimension or the accidental on purpose dimension? Which one doesn't jive with how we're all thinking about what Chel Hashem is, which we have to question as we learn this Mishnah?
That we could do it in private?
Exactly. Right? If it's about thanking the bus driver and not littering in public because everyone's going to be like, oh, if you litter in private, where you're in like a private Amazon forest and you litter, how could this be a Chel Hashem? Right? How could something in private be a Chel Hashem? Is a question that we have to ask ourselves based on how we think Chel Hashem is. What we think Chel Hashem is. Okay? And what about Shogeg Mezid? What question might you have about that? Echad Shogeg ve'echad Mezid b'chil Hashem. I don't know where else this Lashon is used. I wonder if it is. Echad Shogeg ve'echad Mezid. It's all the same. It really means one is this and one is this, right? But colloquially means all, it's all the same. What question might you have on that? Let's take an example of Chel Hashem, okay? Let's say you're on a bus with a non-Jewish bus driver and you're all Jewish. You're from beautiful 16-year-old girls. Now, give me an example of a mezid Chel Hashem. Well, let's talk about me in the airplane with my sewn star in my backpack. What's a mezid Chel Hashem? What can I do in the airplane that would be a mezid Chel Hashem with my star backpack? Like, I'm trying to make a Chel Hashem.
Talk really loudly and don't care about you're on the phone. You're like yapping on FaceTime.
Good. So just do something super obnoxious, right? It's so beautiful that the most obnoxious thing that Bacheva could think about was being loud on FaceTime. All right. What about if you say something like super racist? What about if you like talk back really obnoxiously to the flight attendants, right? Et cetera, et cetera. We could think of like some pretty bad stuff. And just because you're trying to make a kid a Chel Hashem, you're trying for people to be like, wow, those Jews are really obnoxious. Okay, what's an accidental Chel Hashem?
You're talking on FaceTime really loudly.
Exactly. Good, Bacheva. Right, you're talking. Or what about this, right?
Threshold.
Exactly. Or you sneeze. You sneeze and it's not your fault because you have a cold, but it's during Corona and it's socially awkward. And then everyone's like, oh, those Jews have Corona. That's actually a good example. Right? Or like, would you say Chavi? Chavi, keep saying something, but I can't see what you're... I can't hear you.
I forgot to mute, but all I said was a really good example. I get very uncomfortable when you sneeze on the train.
Exactly, right?
But I'm fine.
It's like socially unacceptable these days to like sneeze in public anywhere, but like it's not your fault if you sneeze in public anywhere, but like you could be making a Chel Hashem other than being like those Orthodox Jews, they all have Corona and they're spreading it to the rest of us, right? So again, that, right? Or like the example where I'm trying to help someone with their bag, so I'm trying to help someone, but instead I whack someone else with my backpack, so it's accidental, but it has an Israeli star in it, so now it's a Chel Hashem. Bacheva.
So are you asking, like, you're saying, what question can we have here? Is it just the same, the same question of shogeg in general? Is like, if you do something by mistake, how could you really be held accountable for that?
Good. So, exactly, meaning it's a sort of a question of shogeg in general, but it's also a question of shogeg where?
Specifically here.
Here.
It's not your fault.
Exactly.
And anyone around you should be able to know that.
Exactly. You sneeze. Shogeg is not quite sneezing, right? That's something that's totally out of your control, right? But I turn around to help someone with their backpack and I hit someone in the head or in the leg or whatever it is, right? That's as bad as me like cursing out the flight attendant. Come on. Echad shogeg ve'echad mezid b'chil Hashem. That's pretty intense. Okay, so those are the two questions that we're going to have to deal with, and then but Mefarshim who deal with this parak are dealing with primarily those two questions, okay? And those are the questions that we have to deal with. What does it mean, a private Chel Hashem, and what does the Shogeg Mezid continuum mean, Echad Shogeg ve'echad Mezid Chel Hashem? What does that mean? How could you say that? Okay, so the first place we go, as always, is Rabbeinu Yonah, because mostly we learn Rabbeinu Yonah, then we're going to go to Rehersh, because mostly we always learn Rehersh. Because how can we not learn Rabbeinu Yonah
Rehersh? Which mission is this again? Sorry.
Yes, what mission is this? It's Dalid, Dalid, or Dalid Hey, depending on how it splits it up. So I'm in this one that we all had in Midrasha a million years ago, and that is Mishnah Dalid. Rehersh, it's Mishnah Hey. Just depending how you split it, by theme or some other way. Okay, ready? Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka Omer. Here's Rabbeinu Yonah. So you tell me which question he's going to deal with. This is his opening line. Chil Hashem ha'omer b'talmud hu parhesia. Chil Hashem, when it's spoken about in the Talmud, is a public misdemeanor. So what question is he asking? our question, right? Like, hold on a second. What do you mean a private chil Hashem? What does that mean? So we're skipping a little bit. We're actually going to go back to it when we read Rav Hirsch. But he goes on to say, what does it mean when it says privately you're Mechal Hashem? How could somebody be Mechal Hashem in private? So here's how Rabbeinu Yonah, listen to how Rabbeinu Yonah defines Chil Hashem. Medaber bidvarim shehim be'atzmam Chil Hashem. It's talking about actions, that those actions themselves are Chil Hashem. Basically, despite whether or not you're in private or in public. Kimo, for example, Avodah Zarah, shehu Chil Hashem. Avodah Zarah, which is a Chil Hashem, I believe that he's quoting, like when he says that Avodah Zarah is a Chil Hashem, I believe he's quoting Psukim that say that Avodah Zarah is a Chil Hashem, but he does not quote them actually here. She'eno moda le'elahuso. Elahuso. He does not admit, he does not admit to his God, right? He does not admit that there is a God. Ukimo kein nishba l'sheker. And in the same vein is somebody who swears falsely. Shagonev da'as habrios, bishmo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because he misleads people, he steals their intelligence, right? Gonev da'as is a phrase that means that you steal somebody's ability to understand what's going on. That is a chilul Hashem. Bishmo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the name of Hashem, right? You swear falsely with Hashem's name. Chilul Hashem hu, kemo she'ne'emar, like it says, v'lo tishbu bishmi l'sheker v'chilalta Hashem Elokecha. So again, from the second one, he knows that swearing in private is a Chilul Hashem because it says it. I assume that that's how he also knows that Avodah Zarah is a Chilul Hashem in private. But according to these two examples, right, Avodah Zarah in private, let's say, and swearing falsely, where independent of whether or not you're alone, or there's a few people, or there's many people, the act itself is a Chilul Hashem. Right? How is Rabbeinu Yonah defining Chilul Hashem? Therefore, what is a Chilul Hashem? A Chilul Hashem is an act that
disregards God,
right? Does not admit to God, which is it's going to be a double negative, right? Does not admit that there is a God, meaning exactly what Batsheva said, right? In some way denies that Hashem. It basically says, you know, not in this philosophical discourse, but in your actions, it says, I, in this action, am showing that I don't believe in God. I'm showing that I don't admit that God is everywhere. I don't admit that God is. It doesn't say kofir about Lakuso, right? It doesn't say kofir that you're showing that God. It's eno moda. You're not showing that you do believe in God. You're right. You're showing that you don't care in that minute whether or not there is a God, or you don't assume that God is watching you, or you don't assume that God cares about what you're doing, right? Eno moda la Lakuso. So point to Rabbeinu Yonah. That's what defines a Chilul Hashem. And sometimes what we do in public shows that we don't care that there's a God. And sometimes what we do in private, sometimes there are some things that we can do in private that show that we don't care whether or not there's a God. That's how he qualifies Chilul Hashem. Here's what he says about Echad Shogig v'Echad Mezid. Ready? Lo sheni from imenu ala shogig kimezid. Okay, Rabbeinu Yonah, if you see his parish, he always calls this out. He always calls out things that look like unethical, like, equalities, right? Making two things that aren't equal, he almost always jumps on that. So here he says, no, of course not. Of course not, we're not actually saying that you get punished in the same degree for something that you did by accident as something that you did on purpose. Like, no way, you know, that's not just, and that's not what we're saying that God does. But Ella, instead, she'af al hashogig nifra'am imenu begaloi. Even what you do by mistake, it's taken out on you, right? Nifra'im imenu. It is retracted from you. You're held accountable for it, begaloi, publicly. V'chol echad kifi avono yisa. But everybody, according to how bad the transgression was, that's how bad the public punishment is going to be. Mipnei she'af hashgaga nechshav lo avon. Because even a mistake is a sin in some capacity. Why? Bizman she'enu anus, if you're not forced, so not sneezing, right? Sneezing is not a mistake, let's say. But anything else, if I smacked somebody in the head with my backpack when I was putting someone else's backpack up, it's a mistake of mine that shows an imperfection of mine, which is what? Shahayo lo lihizahir, shalo yavo chit al yado, velo nizhar. You should have been more careful, Stam. You should have been more careful. So, of course, if I literally am wearing an Israeli backpack and I smack someone, or if I'm wearing an Israeli backpack and I accidentally smack someone with a backpack while trying to help somebody else, I'm not going to be punished to the same degree. Rabbeinu Yonah is like, no, that's of course not fair, and that's not what we're saying God does. But what we are saying is that Shogeg and Mezid are equally qualified as Chilul Hashem. And one of the qualities of Chilul Hashem is that whatever Chilul Hashem we do is retracted from us publicly. Right? We have basically the punishment of Chilul Hashem is the punishment fits the crime, but it's a very big crime. So it's a very big punishment. Even if it's just, so to speak, a mistake. Because a mistake reflects an attitude of you were a little bit indifferent. Because Chilul Hashem is eino moda l'elokuso. You don't admit that there's a God. So if you're not being careful enough with your actions to make sure that they're moral and ethical and not hurting people and what Hashem wants you to do, and you make a mistake in what's moral, ethical, in not hurting someone or what Hashem wants you to do, then you could have been a little bit more careful. So of course you're not going to be published. Of course you're not going to be punished as if you had done it on purpose, right? Again, swearing falsely in public on purpose because you just don't care, or swearing falsely because you didn't check your facts before you swore falsely, are both sins. You should have checked your facts if you're swearing in the name of God. Because if you really believed in God and swearing in the name of God, you would have checked your facts. So if you swore falsely by accident, of course it's still avon. You should have checked your facts. But it's not as bad as swearing falsely by the name of God because you know it's false and you just don't care and you're still using God's name. But both of those things, you will be punished in public. So again, what does that mean you will be punished in public? I don't know. Rabbi Yehuda does not explain why that's the punishment here, so I cannot answer those questions. But shoot me with your next question. Baruch HaKoni, you look like you have a question about Shava. You're raising your hand.
According to its definition, Achil Hashem is like having a moment where Hashem isn't in your life as the definition that you gave. So what does that matter if it's on purpose or by accident? If like you are not believing that Hashem is in every part of your life, that's just going to affect all of your actions equally.
I agree. This is what Baruch is pointing out, which is a very good point, which is that when Rabbi Yonah is talking about, I'm going to get back to that after Rav Hirsch, because really Rav Hirsch points that out more directly, and I was about to skip ahead to Rav Hirsch, but let's table that question. But it's an excellent question, and you're pointing out a very, very important aspects of Chilul Hashem that we have not yet called out. So let's do that in a minute, and then let's go back to it. Bacheva F.
Okay, so I like to connect this to everything, so I could be wrong. So it just makes me think of that whole thing with like the fence, that you have to build a fence on your roof, because you're like getting like, if someone, like, you have to build a fence because you don't want someone to fall off the fence and like fall off the roof, and even though it's like they're supposed to fall off the roof, like they're supposed to, like, you need to do what's in your capacity to prevent yourself from being that thing.
Right.
So you have to be conscious, you have to be conscious of avoiding getting into that situation.
Right.
It's like a similar kind of thing, I'm thinking. I don't know.
Right. No, I hear what you're saying. You're saying, like, it's another situation in which even if something is not necessarily your fault because you did it on purpose, it's your fault because you didn't take the proper course to prevent it.
Yes.
Yeah? So, like, if a Chilul Hashem happens because you didn't take what was necessary to prevent it, you're also liable in some capacity for the Chilul Hashem that happens. Yeah. Good. Okay, good. Yeah, good. Nice connection. Good connection. Bacheva. Other Bacheva.
Also, I think, like, my own take on this is that he's not... So, two things. Like, publicly, right, it's saying, like, publicly you're going to be punished for it, just because it doesn't matter if you do something by mistake or on purpose. The public isn't forgiving of you. They don't know whether you did it by mistake or on purpose. The same way, like with your example, you know, if you by mistake push someone, people's instincts are to just be like, oh, you dirty Jew, or whatever, you know? And then that connects to how he's saying, like, you better be like extra careful because no one's going to cut you slack. It just all looks the same. So you should just be super cognizant. I don't know about the knapsack, like, it's so not your fault, and, like, there's nothing you can really do about that if you trip and trip, but, like...
I didn't trip. I turned around and smacked him with my... I mean, I could have taken off my backpack. But, yeah. No, but exactly. What you're saying really is Rav Hirsch, okay? Rav Hirsch goes much more in that direction, and we'll talk about the distinction between Rav Hirsch and Rabbeinu Yonah further also. Chavi, you have something to say.
It could be I'm hearing like the Mishnah wrong. But I get it, what Michelle was saying about like the public perspective, like they don't know whether you did something on purpose or accident, so you will be punished in public. Mm-hmm. But from like a God perspective, like, you know, so to me, like when we're equating all of this, we're kind of taking out the human aspect of error that like is kind of built into how we relate to everything. So that's just what I'm thinking about this. Like, I get if you do something, other people obviously don't know whether you do it or not, but to say you're going to be punished in public.
Maybe it's a preventive measure. Like, he does say that Hashem doesn't punish you for it, and he doesn't think differently. It sounds like it's more like a practical.
So that's what Rashi says. Again, we weren't going to learn Rashi, but Rashi has a fascinating... Rashi's the only one who really deals with why. Like, why is your punishment in public? Rabbeinu Yonah and Rav Hirsch sort of feel like, well, it's your punishment, and it's in public, because this was really bad, because it's Chil Hashem, and Chil Hashem is the worst thing. You know, that's where Rav Hirsch is going to go, and that's what we're going to read again in Rabbeinu Yonah. Rashi, let me just read it to you inside for a minute. I wasn't really going to do it, but he says, V'kol kach lama. Like, why? Why is it so bad? You know, like, why are we nifraim mimenu begalui? And he says this, Kokach lama shelo yischal shem shemayim al yado. Why is Chil Hashem taken out on you in public so that there is no Chil Hashem? Chil Hashem is a metaphysical mechanism that prevents itself. If somebody is going to make a Chil Hashem, they will also be punished in public so that the Chil Hashem is not made. Otherwise, people will see people doing something wrong, and like Bacheva said, they'll learn from it, and they'll be like, oh my gosh, what a Chil Hashem. This Talmud Chacham is a total hypocrite, or he's a horrible person, and look, they think that he's a Talmud Chacham. So it's like, no, in the end, he's not going to be thought of as a Talmud Chacham, he's going to be thought of as, like, you know, the scoundrel that he is. And in that way, and him being publicly, you know, declared a scoundrel, even though only you saw in his house, because you're his neighbor, all the stuff that he was doing wrong, and you thought it was Chil Hashem will always prevent itself. Right? Shelo yomer v'isam ploni shehu chacham v'asam asim tovim ufagu bo tzaros v'kolchach. And the opposite, right? That if you see somebody who seems to be a good person and there's bad stuff happening to them, you'll realize in the end that they're really a bad person. So the problem with Rashi is that this doesn't really seem to be how the world works, which I will ask Rashi when I die. Right? Like, I like it. I like the theory. Chil Hashem is a mechanism that prevents itself. You know, the reason you have to be taken out on for Chil Hashem is so that Chil Hashem doesn't actually happen. But you also see people who are bad people who get good stuff and good people who get bad stuff. And then I guess we get ourselves stuck in the good people, bad people conundrum, which is another aspect of the world around us and humanity, et cetera, et cetera. And the human experience, let's say. But at least in theory, Rashi, that's what Rashi's saying. Chil Hashem will always prevent itself. That's why it has to be public. Your public Chil Hashem or your private Chil Hashem has to be taken out on you in public. So that Chil Hashem never actually happens. Yeah, Baruch Cohen. Raising your hand, not raising your hand. Yes, raising your hand.
So this is reminding me of something that one of my madrichot in seminary said, so tell me if it is in fact what it is. She was very into when we see something that like morally we don't agree with, like we have to kind of reinstate that in ourselves and kind of just, even if we're not going to do any actions or be or disapprove it or anything like that, we have to like make it very clear to ourselves, like, this is something that I'm morally not okay with or hashgafically not okay with. So is it kind of like that, that if we don't have this like very clear stance on what's right and what's wrong, things get gray very, very fast?
Yeah, I mean, I like it. I think it's related, right? The psychological term for this is just world theory. Just world, not like it's just the world, but just world is in the world is just. Right, so in psychology, they're kind of like, about it. They're a little derogatory about it. But the truth is, like, Jews hold the just world theory. We think the world is just. So like you're saying, you know, Bracha, when we see things that are happening that are wrong, we reinforce within ourselves the strength of character to know that the world is just and to act justly. And according to Rashi, we also reinforce within ourselves the assumption that the world is just at all times and will be just, and we believe that it will be just at all times.
What does that mean?
Which part?
That we believe the world is just.
Meaning, like, that's the premise behind Rashi, which is that, like, if someone is doing something that's immorally wrong, Hashem will show people that it's morally wrong. In the end, it will be shown to be morally wrong. Right? The injustice that we see a chacham, we see a Talmud chacham who's getting wrong and evil. And it's the premise of the why do bad things happen to good people question. It bothers us because we expect and we believe that the world is a just place. So Chil Hashem too, he's saying, you can't have somebody who is secretly a horrible, evil person who's doing all sorts of Chil Hashem, or a public Chil Hashem. Chilulei Hashem always end up being revealed so that there is no Chilul Hashem. That's part of just world theory, I think. We can talk about that later. I want to get to Rav Hirsch and then we could discuss more because, again, I want to be respectful of people's time. But I love the conversation and I missed you guys. Okay, ready? Rav Hirsch. Let's read Rav Hirsch. Rav Hirsch. Chilul Hashem is deemed the most serious of all transgressions. Okay, that's the part we skipped in Rabbeinu Yonah. We can go back to it. Rabbeinu Yonah also says, okay, it's the most serious of all transgressions. Okay, so the subject here is not stam an aveira, right? It's a massively serious transgression. Why? It is that sin which is perpetrated when a person who is qualified. So what dimension or what's Rav Hirsch adding here that Rabbeinu Yonah didn't really talk about and why? It is that sin which is perpetrated when a person who is qualified by virtue of his calling or station to teach and, both by word and by personal example, to champion and promote among men the hallowing of God's name and the conscientious fulfillment of his law, who publicly shows contempt for the name of God and openly transgresses the command of his will. So according to Rav Hirsch, it's somebody who has the capacity to make a Kiddush Hashem. Right, because of his station, or because of his, calling, by virtue of his calling, someone who's qualified to teach the right way to act, and instead shows contempt and transgresses publicly the law. That's, according to Rav Hirsch, a Chilul Hashem. So, like Bracha Cohen, I think that's what it was, just called out, what are the two dimensions that Rav Hirsch shows us, or maybe even I think was also talking about this. What are the two dimensions that we talk about when we talk about Chilul Hashem? Let me read you Rav Hirsch emphasizing the two things, and you tell me what they are. Okay? It's a person who is qualified by virtue of his calling or station to teach, and both by word and by personal example, to champion or promote among the men the hallowing of God's name and the conscientious fulfillment of his law. Publicly shows contempt for the name of God and openly transgresses the commandments. He's talking about two things. There are two things when we talk about Chilul Hashem. What are they? That cause a Chilul Hashem, so to speak. One of them is doing something wrong, right? He's transgressing.
And the other one is not doing the right thing. No, like not, you have an opportunity, but you let it go.
Good. So, Betsy, but good. You're picking up the piece that Rav Hirsch says that Rabbeinu Yonah didn't, which is that somehow the example that he's giving is somebody who could have done something else and doesn't. Okay, we're gonna hit on that because Rav Hirsch keeps going on that, and that's really essential to Rav Hirsch's definition of Chilul Hashem. But what's the other thing? Doing something again, showing contempt for God's name, and let's do this. Okay, this is what the Chilul Hashem is. He shows contempt for the name of God, and he openly transgresses the command of his will. What are the two things that he's doing? He's doing showing contempt and transgressing. What are those things? One is an action, right? Doing something wrong. He openly transgresses. This is like, you know, on Shabbos, he's like, I don't care about chopping down my tree, and he chopped down his tree. Right? Openly transgresses. You do something wrong. And what was the other part? Even the example that I gave.
Feeling.
Right, a feeling, right? An attitude. So the two things that cause the Chilul Hashem is doing something wrong. You got to do something wrong to make Chilul Hashem. But your attitude is part of the Chilul Hashem. You show contempt. Somebody shows contempt and they transgress. That's what Rabbeinu Yonah was talking about too, right? Your attitude is part of the problem. Because if you don't yourself have an attitude of taking Hashem seriously, like Bracha Cohen was saying, right? If you don't have the attitude of taking Hashem seriously, that you actually believe that Hashem is there and he cares about what you're doing and he asks you to do something, because either you just decide that you don't care and you don't think that there is a God, let's say conscientiously, or because you just don't care, or because you're not paying attention. You're like distracted and you're doing something else and you just don't care. You're like indifferent. You're like, I don't need to check out my testimony. I'm just going to swear in the name of God. I'm pretty sure this is true, right? That's like an attitude of indifference. So your attitude is part of what contributes to avodas to Chilul Hashem, because our attitude is also part of our avodas Hashem, right? What we think and how we feel about Hashem contributes to the worst of transgressions and the best of mitzvos. So it's not just the action that qualifies as Chilul Hashem. Your attitude is part of that picture. Okay, here Rav Hirsch goes on. Okay, and pick up what Batsheva just picked up. Right, Rav Hirsch adds a dimension here where the person that he's talking about, he talks about the stature of that person. And to Rav Hirsch, the stature of the person is important, right? It's somebody who is qualified by virtue of his calling or station to teach, and both by word and personal example, to champion and promote among men. And instead, what does he do? He publicly shows contempt and openly transgresses the will of God. Okay? Such a man feigns dutifully in public and leads a sinful life in private. Only he will suffer the punishment of being exposed in public for what he really is, so that all may behold his unworthiness. Echad shogig. So here he goes into echad shogig ve'echad mezid. Any error in the sphere, and this is exactly what Batsheva said, you're going to see it right here. Any error in the sphere of the fulfillment of life's duty betokens a lack of understanding, caution, and circumspection in this aspect of living, and also a certain degree of indifference to the concept of loyalty properly due to the law of God, right? If you do something by accident, in Chilul Hashem, which is the worst possible thing that you could do, you publicly make a Chilul Hashem because you're indifferent. That's a problem, right? That's an attitude problem of indifference. You're not paying enough attention. You're not being careful enough in Vira Vodas Hashem to avoid doing something like that. Therefore, any error committed in this connection by one to whom men look up to in admiration as an example for themselves to emulate, right? Someone who people look up to has an adverse influence upon the attitude that should by right be adopted by his fellow men. Anyone who people are looking to learn from, and he does something, even by mistake, just like Batsheva said, the Dorfer is going to say, people don't, either even if they recognize it in the moment as a mistake, later on they're like, really? You know, I think I saw the rabbi cutting his tree on Shabbos. I'm pretty sure that's okay. Even at the time, they're like, I don't think he's allowed to do that. Right? Very soon they forget what's a mistake and what isn't. And again, if someone is supposed to be an example, and he isn't, that's even more of a Chilul Hashem. Okay, and the fact that all too often such acts are not always or by always recognized as errors by others, and it's dangerous to set an example by men to whom, by a man whom others seek to emulate. So why is it that Rav Hirsch takes the stature of this person as being so important? Right? So again, such a person, he must carefully be on his guard to avoid doing such wrongs, even unwittingly or in error. Why, according to Rav Hirsch, is the stature of the person important? How does that influence how Rav Hirsch is defining Chilul Hashem?
Saying like the greater they are, the more of a Chilul Hashem it is,
yeah.
Because there's more expectation placed on them.
Good. Rav Hirsch, exactly, because Rav Hirsch really defines Chilul Hashem how we colloquially define Chilul Hashem. Right? Chilul Hashem is like the public, it's a public misdemeanor. And according to Rav Hirsch also, it's the public misleading of what Hashem wants from us. It's a public misrepresentation, is probably a better word, of what Hashem wants. So if that's mazid, and if it's by somebody who people, as a leader, right? It's by somebody who naturally is a leader. By somebody who people want to follow. And if somebody who people want to follow, and he has the potential to have people follow Avodas Hashem, and instead he uses that potential to have people follow the wrong derech, that's more of a Chilul Hashem, right? And if somebody, even if he's well-intentioned, but in error, in indifference, or whatever, he misleads people, and he's the kind of person that people like to follow, and there's a public misunderstanding of what Hashem wants because of this person, that's more of a Chilul Hashem. So again, both Rabbeinu Yonah and Rav Hirsch talk about attitude and action. And the attitude that's a problem for both of them, even though they define Chilul Hashem slightly differently. Rabbeinu Yonah defines Chilul Hashem as anything that is done, that when it's done, we don't feel like Hashem is behind it. We do something without recognizing that Hashem is behind it. Any action like that, public or private, is a Chilul Hashem. According to Rav Hirsch, Chilul Hashem really is what we feel Chilul Hashem is, right? Which is a public misrepresentation of what Hashem wants. And therefore, the stature of the person is important in determining how big or small the Chilul Hashem it is. But according to Rabbeinu Yonah and Rav Hirsch, the attitude is as important as the action. And doing the action wrong is bad, is the Chilul Hashem, so to speak. But the attitude behind it, and the attitude is indifference, is really where we start down that black hole. Is when we have a certain attitude of like, eh. Like, whatever. It's okay. Or like, it's fine. Or like, Hashem doesn't really care. Or like, Hashem's going to know. And like, he's going to know I did it by accident. And then it doesn't really matter if I swear by Hashem's name because I'm pretty sure it's okay. And Hashem knows that it's okay. Right? So again, like this certain indifference on the one hand, and according to Rabbeinu Yonah, you know, according to Rav Hirsch, like contempt on the other, right? Like specific throwing out the word of Hashem. Or according to Rabbeinu Yonah, it's like real neglect or denial of Hashem. But again, that indifference as the path that we want to stay far from, that indifference in Avodas Hashem. Saying, eh, whatever. Doesn't really matter. It matters. Good. Questions?